Everyone, and thank you for joining us today on our January session of the Azure Networking Deep Dive series. I am Sally Mahamdeh, and today I'm here with Christoph, Richard, and Federico, who are my teammates. In today's session, we are going to focus on hybrid cloud connectivity options. We are going to cover site-to-site connectivity, express route, and explain the coexistence of the two solutions. And of course, we will take a Q&A during the session. My colleagues are here with me, so while I'm presenting, please feel free to post your questions in the IM window, and we will pick it up during the session. So a very quick introduction of our team. We are the EMEA Networking Sales Specialists, and our goal is to help customers better understand the way networking works in Azure and how to plan and design connectivity to the Microsoft Cloud. In this series, we follow a readiness plan where we walk you from the simplest to the most complex scenarios. We do this once per month via Skype. We started in October, and our last session is gonna take place in June. The time and the date are EMEA friendly because we are based in EMEA and we have an EMEA coverage, but we are very happy to have people attend from any other region. And in case you cannot make our sessions, please know that they are all recorded, and I will share with you later the link of the recording. In terms of the format, we will sometimes have a mix of a business overview with our partner sales executives and a technical overview with either Federico or myself, and sometimes the session is going to be purely technical. In terms of the audience, everybody's welcome. Customers, partners, Microsoft people, partners. This is the agenda of the past sessions. We have had three so far. So one in October, and it was an overview of Azure Virtual Networks. We've had one in November, which covered how to secure virtual networks. The one in December was about inter-VNet connectivity. Today, we are going to cover hybrid cloud connectivity options. In February, we are going to have a session around virtual data centers. And in March, we are going to have a technical deep dive on Express Route and how it can be implemented. If you would like to receive an invite, or if you would like us to invite some of your peers or colleagues, please send an empty email to sallym@microsoft.com, and I'll make sure you get the invite. The recordings are all available on Channel 9, so you can either go to Channel 9 and search for the Azure Networking Deep Dive series, or you can use this link. So, as I mentioned earlier, today we are going to cover hybrid cloud connectivity options. In terms of the options that customers have, we have four. So, the first one is point-to-site. It is a VPN connection over secure socket tunneling protocol, and it does not require a VPN device. We have site-to-site, which allows connection over IPsec, and which does require a VPN device. We have multi-site, which is a sort of a variation of a site-to-site configuration, but that can allow you to connect to multiple on-prem sites. And Express Route, which is a direct connection to Azure that does not go over the public internet, and that allows to have high performance. So let's go through the key facts of each of these options. Point-to-site will connect you from a single computer to anything in your virtual network. It uses Windows Inbox VPN client, and it will require you to install a certificate and a VPN client configuration package, which will contain the settings that allow your computer to connect to any virtual machine or role instance within the virtual network. Point-to-site is useful when you want to connect to your virtual network from a remote location. It is useful when you only have a few clients that need to connect to a virtual network. It is also useful when you do not have a VPN device or an externally facing IPv4 address, and both are required for site-to-site connectivity. Site-to-site will connect you between any of the computers located on your on-prem to virtual machines or role instances that are within the virtual network. Of course, it will depend on how you choose to configure the routing, and we will cover that a bit later. Site-to-site relies on an IPsec VPN appliance, and it must be deployed at the end of your network. And it will require VPN hardware and an externally facing IPv4 address, as mentioned earlier. Site-to-site is very useful when you need an always available cross-premises connection that is well suited for hybrid configurations. Multi-site is a variation that can allow you to create and configure a VPN gateway connection between your VNets and multiple on-prem networks. So when working with multiple connections, you will need to use the root-based VPN type. That's the equivalent of the dynamic gateway for classic VNets, and I will cover that a bit later. But because a VNet can only have one VPN gateway, all the connections that go through this gateway will share the available bandwidth. And this can be useful when you have different remote sites that you need to connect your virtual networks to. ExpressRoute, on the other hand, will allow you to create a private connection between Azure data centers and infrastructure on your on-prem or in a co-location environment. Traffic will not go over the public internet. And this is established via what we call the ExpressRoute peering location, and we will explain what that is a bit later. But it can be achieved in different ways, or it can come in different flavors. It can work by connecting you through an exchange provider facility, or by extending your own network, or by creating an Ethernet connectivity to the ExpressRoute location. ExpressRoute is useful when you need a predictable and stable performance, and it is also useful when it is important for you to have a private connection to the Microsoft Cloud that does not cross the public internet. So in today's session, we will focus on site-to-site VPN and ExpressRoute. And as mentioned earlier, both require a component that is called the Virtual Network Gateway. So let me remind you of what is a Virtual Network Gateway. Basically, it is a Layer 3 device that will route the traffic to remote networks. It is attached to an Azure virtual network in a similar way than a virtual machine, and it is always provisioned in a reserved subnet that we call the Gateway subnet. It is by default a highly available service. When you create a virtual network gateway, you are basically deploying a set of highly available virtual machines with a load balancer. And the gateway subnet is part of the VNet's address space. You can use the /27 or bigger if necessary. And each gateway is associated with a public IP address. So virtual network gateways come in two types, or two flavors. The first type is the VPN type, and the second type is the ExpressRoute type. The VPN type will route traffic to remote networks over internet-based IPsec tunnels. The ExpressRoute type will route traffic to on-prem networks over dedicated connectivity. It is important to note that both can coexist in the same virtual network. So you can configure the site-to-site VPN as a secure failover path for ExpressRoute. Or you can use it because you have sites that are not part of your network, but that are connected through ExpressRoute. In both cases, you will need two virtual network gateways. One that will hold the VPN gateway type, and the other one will hold the ExpressRoute type. And it is important to keep in mind that there's the performance gap between ExpressRoute and site-to-site VPN, so the sizing should be done accordingly. And I will explain the performance that comes with ExpressRoute and the one that comes with site-to-site so that you have a better understanding of this. So there are the virtual network gateway comes in three flavors, or what we call SKUs: the basic SKU, the standard SKU, and the high performance SKU. So as you can see in this table, the VPN gateway throughput is lower than the ExpressRoute gateway throughput. So for example, in the basic SKU, you are limited to 100 megabits per second. For the ExpressRoute gateway, you're limited to 500 megabits per second. For the standard SKU and the high-performance SKU, the ExpressRoute gateway is 10 times more performant. So 100 megabits per second for the standard for VPN, 1,000 for ExpressRoute, 200 for the high-performance VPN gateway, and 2,000 for ExpressRoute. And as you can see, only the standard SKU and the high-performance SKU will allow you to have the VPN gateway and the ExpressRoute gateway to coexist in the same virtual network. Also here, I would like to maybe announce or note, it depends on whether you have seen the recent announcements on Ignite, but we have also released the Ultra Performance SKU, which allows you to have the ExpressRoute gateway with a throughput that's limited to 10,000 megabits per second. And that is on the Azure.com page in the on the virtual gateway, the network gateway page. So let's have a deeper look at how site-to-site VPN works. So site-to-site connectivity is an internet-based connectivity that works based on the IPsec protocol. So IPsec is a protocol that allows you to securely exchange traffic over a public or an unsecure network, and it supports different modes. In this specific scenario, the tunnel mode is used, and that allows traffic to be encapsulated in an outer IP packet. So in this specific figure, as you can see, when Virtual Machine 5 is trying to speak to the on-prem network, the traffic will always go through the VPN gateway, which will properly encapsulate the traffic using the IPsec protocol. And site-to-site connectivity comes in two flavors, or in two ways. You have the policy-based and the route-based gateways. The IPsec tunnels can be negotiated only between peers that use the same VPN type, and Azure supports both. But route-based gateways will allow you to have more features. So as you can see here, for example, if you use the policy-based basic VPN gateway, you will not be able to use point-to-site. But also, you will be limited in the number of site-to-site connections that you can have. And it does not support BGP. So site-to-site VPN is a great hybrid connectivity solution, but it does have some limitations. So, for example, it is more convenient for dev, test, or lab scenarios, and it is also convenient for small-scale production workloads for cloud services and virtual machines. The resiliency is not built in. It is resilient on the gateway side, but not resilient on the tunnel side. And also, the typical bandwidth is generally around 100 megabits per second. So there is a solution that is that Azure offers and that is very popular with customers that allows you to overcome some of those limitations but also achieve some other requirements that customers need. And that solution is called ExpressRoute. So what is ExpressRoute or what does it bring? ExpressRoute brings performance. That is mainly the most important, let's say, word or a trigger to use in an ExpressRoute conversation. ExpressRoute will allow you to have a dedicated connection with a dedicated bandwidth. It will allow you to have a predictable and stable user experience. It also comes with some advantages or added values that are important for customers. For example, it is highly available and that is built in. So every time you buy an ExpressRoute circuit, you will get dual links. It is covered by SLAs that are monthly and that are high. So as of today, they are of 99.95%. When you create an ExpressRoute circuit, it allows you to connect to a Microsoft geopolitical region, not only to an Azure region, and I will go into details on this specific part a bit later. It allows you to connect to IaaS, PaaS, and SaaS services all through one circuit, and as we saw a bit earlier, it allows you to have higher throughput because the ExpressRoute gateway is more performant than the VPN gateway. So how does ExpressRoute work? ExpressRoute will allow you to connect your network on-prem by working with one of our ExpressRoute providers, where you will the ExpressRoute provider will take you to meet the Microsoft at a MeetMe location or an ExpressRoute location, and that will allow you to hit the Microsoft backbone in order to reach the Microsoft data centers in a geopolitical region. So if we take the same example we took earlier, but with a different connection, here, the IP packets will be routed between the virtual networks and the on-prem networks over the Microsoft network and the provider network. And in order to ensure the isolation among tenants, but also to allow them to use overlapping IP address ranges, the traffic will be GRE encapsulated while it crosses the Microsoft network. In the same example, when VM5 wants to speak to the on-prem network, the traffic will go through the ExpressRoute gateway, which will encapsulate it with a different protocol this time and allow it to go through the Microsoft backbone in order to reach the provider's network and then the customer's network. So now that you know how ExpressRoute, what ExpressRoute allows customers to have, it's important to understand how ExpressRoute is deployed. And on this section, Federico will walk us through different deployment options.
Thank you, Sally. So let me take over as a presenter and let's get started. So in this slide, you see what is the typical way customers consume Microsoft cloud services when the internet is used. In order to reach Microsoft's network, customers have to cross the internet, which means delivering traffic to third-party public networks without any guarantees about latency and throughput. ExpressRoute is meant to address this problem by allowing customers to bypass the internet and connect directly to the Microsoft network over a dedicated connection for which some performance guarantees can be provided. Of course, it is not possible for Microsoft to extend its own network up to the front door of each and every customer, and at the same time, Microsoft does not expect customers to extend their own network up to the Azure data centers. For this reason, ExpressRoute is based on the concept of meeting halfway. The place where customers can meet the Microsoft network in ExpressRoute terminology are referred to as ExpressRoute peering locations. ExpressRoute peering locations are exchange platforms managed by third parties where customers can interconnect with the Microsoft network. From this slide, you see that a peering location is a different thing than an Azure data center. Peering locations are data centers owned by third parties where Microsoft has deployed routers connected to its backbone. Traffic can be delivered by customers at one or more peering locations, and it will be routed through the Azure backbone to the target Azure data centers. In this slide, you see the peering locations that are available for the ExpressRoute service in Europe. We have a peering location in Amsterdam, a peering location in London, one in Newport, and the other one in Paris. In each one of these locations, we work with one or more third parties, which are the companies running the co-location facilities hosting our routers. As you can see, we work with Interaction and Equinix Telecity in most locations, and we work with Next Generation Data in the newly announced peering location available in Newport, Wales. In terms of high-level architecture, in order for an ExpressRoute connection to work, three pieces must be procured and properly connected. First of all, customers are responsible for extending their own network from their data centers to one or more peering locations where they will be able to meet the Microsoft network. At the peering location, the routing equipment under the customer control must be connected through physical cross-connects to the routing equipment deployed by Microsoft at that same peering location. And then Microsoft is responsible for connecting routers at the peering location back to the rest of the Microsoft backbone. In this slide, you see a different vision of an ExpressRoute circuit, which shows how the networking architecture for a circuit looks like. As mentioned, the customers need to deploy routing equipment at the peering location in order for that routing equipment to be physically cross-connected through a layer 2 switching fabric to the routers deployed by Microsoft in the same peering location. Connectivity between the customer's premises and the peering location are layer 2 physical links. Every ExpressRoute circuit is provided by Microsoft in a redundant configuration. Therefore, the moment you order an ExpressRoute circuit at a given peering location, Microsoft will make available two physical ports at that peering location, and expects customers to connect to both of those physical ports. Customers can decide whether to reach the peering location from their data center by using physically distinct and diversely routed physical links. ExpressRoute is based on BGP. BGP is the only routing protocol that can be used with ExpressRoute in order to exchange routing information with the Microsoft network. For those of you who are not aware of what BGP is, you can see here a very quick summary. BGP stands for Border Gateway Protocol. It is a protocol that routers can talk to each other in order to inform their peers about the networks that can be reached by using a specific router. So in very simple example that you see at the bottom of the slide, we have two networks, network A, which is the orange one on the left-hand side, and the network B, which is the gray one on the right-hand side. Network A has a router A, and network B has a router B. These two routers are connected with each other in order for them to be able to exchange traffic going from one network to the other one. BGP protocol is a protocol whereby router A can inform router B about the prefixes which are used in the orange network, and whereby router B can inform router A on what prefixes are used on the gray network. This exchange of information allows hosts connected to the network A to send information to hosts connected in network B. Again, BGP is the only protocol that is supported by ExpressRoute, and in order for an ExpressRoute to connection to work properly, you need to have BGP sessions established with Microsoft. An ExpressRoute circuit can be used to access three specific routing domains within the Microsoft network. Those routing domains are referred to Azure Public, Azure Private, and Microsoft or Office 365. The Azure Private routing domain provides access to everything that you deploy within your virtual networks. When you deploy virtual networks in Azure, you are free to decide which address space to use for your virtual networks, which means that the Azure Private routing domain is a completely private routing domain which only contains IP address ranges that you have decided to use for your Azure hosted virtual networks. The Azure public routing domain contains all the public endpoints that are exposed by the Azure platform. Those public endpoints are the endpoints which are typically used by the PaaS services, such as Azure Storage Services, Azure SQL Database, Azure Machine Learning, and so on and so forth. This routing domain is referred to as public because it contains public IP addresses which can also be accessed by using the public internet. So in this respect, ExpressRoute is just an alternative and more efficient way to get from your network to those public endpoints, which however could be reached by using the public internet too. The third routing domain contains the public IP addresses which Microsoft uses to expose Office 365 applications. The usage of ExpressRoute with Office 365 applications is limited to some very specific cases for customers that meet specific requirements. When deploying an ExpressRoute circuit, there are different options to do so, which are referred to as deployment options. Basically, deployment options identify different ways that you have to work with ExpressRoute partners. In the first case is the case where customers want to deploy and own and configure the routing equipment deployed at the peering location. This deployment option is referred to as Cloud Exchange Colocation. The second case is the case where customers doesn't want to take responsibility for deploying and managing routing equipment at the peering location. They just want to keep managing their on-premises routing equipment, but they want to leverage a partner for reaching the peering location and having routing equipment there in order to establish an express route connection. This approach is referred to as Ethernet point-to-point connection. And then there are customers that already buy IPVPN services from large MPLS providers such as Orange or British Telecom, and they just want to get express route access from within their IPVPN. This approach is referred to as IPVPN connection, also known as any-to-any connectivity. Let's have a look at the three different deployment options and let's see what are the differences in terms of responsibilities for the end customer and cost structure. So in this slide, you see what the responsibilities are for the customer, for the company running the peering location, and for Microsoft. In the Cloud Exchange co-location model, we have seen that the customer is responsible for deploying their own routing equipment at the peering location, and the customer is responsible for working with a network provider of their choice in order to reach that peering location and connect their on-premises data centers to the routing equipment deployed at the peering location. The company running the peering location will only be responsible for providing layer 2 links between the routing interfaces on the customer side and the routing interfaces on the Microsoft side. Microsoft, of course, will be responsible for managing its routers deployed at the peering location and for making sure that those routers are properly and redundantly connected to the rest of the Microsoft backbone. In the Cloud Exchange co-location model, BGP sessions need to be established between the routers deployed by the customer at the peering location and the peer routers deployed by Microsoft at the same peering location. Given the redundant architecture of an express route circuit, you will have two pair of BGP sessions, one for the primary connection and another one for the secondary connection. We have mentioned before that Express Out can give access to different routing domains within the Microsoft network, namely the Azure private routing domain, the Azure public routing domain, and the Microsoft routing domain. For each one of those domains, you will need a separate BGP session. That means that if you want to configure your Express Route circuit for accessing the three available routing domains, you will end up having six BGP sessions, three for the primary link and three for the secondary link. In terms of cost structure, the Cloud Exchange co-location model implies what you see in this slide. First of all, the customer will have to pay for the physical links between their data centers and the peering location. Secondly, the customer will have to enter into a business agreement with the company running the peering location in order to have routing equipment hosted in that peering location and to have that routing equipment physically cross-connected to the Microsoft routers deployed in the same physical location. Finally, the customer will have to pay Microsoft for the usage of the ExpressRoute service itself. This means that according to this model, customers will see three bills, one coming from the network provider of their choice, another one coming from the company running the peering location, the third one coming from Microsoft for the usage of the ExpressRoute service. Now let's see what happens with the point-to-point Ethernet connection model. Basically, this model is usually selected by customers who don't want to be responsible for deploying and managing routing equipment at the peering location. In this case, customers can work with ExpressRoute partners that can do two things on their behalf. First, they will provide connectivity between the customer's data centers and the peering location. Second, they will manage routing equipment deployed at the peering location on the customer behalf. Usually, the routing equipment deployed at the peering location will be shared across multiple customers of the same express route provider. Microsoft, of course, will remain responsible for managing the connectivity from the peering location to the rest of the Microsoft backbone, and the customer will only remain responsible for managing their on-premises routing equipment. In this case, BGP sessions will be established between the routing equipment under the customer's control and the routing interfaces exposed by Microsoft at the peering location. Again, there will be two redundant links, so there will be one pair of BGP sessions per each routing domain. In this model, as well as in the previous model that we see, customers are responsible for everything that concerns the layer 3 configuration, which means that customers will be responsible for selecting the IP addresses to be used on the routing interfaces. They will be responsible for properly configuring the BGP sessions, and they will also be responsible for implementing source NATing when and if required. Source NATing requirements are in place for the Azure public peering and also for the Microsoft peering. These deep configuration aspects will be covered in the March session, where we will explore in detail how to set up an ExpressRoute circuit. In terms of cost structure, the point-to-point Ethernet connection implies the model that you see in this slide. The customer will have to pay an express route provider, which will provide the physical links, will manage the routing equipment deployed at the peering location, and will manage the physical cross-connects towards the Microsoft routing interfaces. Microsoft, of course, will stay responsible for managing the routing equipment deployed at the peering location and for connecting that routing equipment to the rest of its backbone. This means that a customer using ExpressRoute according to this deployment model will see two bills, one coming from the ExpressRoute provider and another one coming from Microsoft. The bill coming from Microsoft will cover the usage of the ExpressRoute service. The bill coming from the ExpressRoute provider will cover the cost of the physical links between the customer's data centers and the peering location, and the usage of the co-located routers, which are owned by the ExpressRoute provider and deployed at the peering location. Also, the bill coming from the ExpressRoute provider will cover the cost for putting in place the physical cross-connects between routers on the customer side and routers on the Microsoft side. Then the third option. The third option is the so-called IPVPN connection. And again, this is dedicated to customers that already buy IPVPN services on top of an MPLS backbone. Providers which are very active in Europe and have these kind of offerings are Orange, British Telecom, Level 3, Tata Communications, and so on and so forth. Let's have a look at how this deployment model works. Here we see a simplified example where an MPLS backbone, the Orange Cloud, provides IPVPN services to two different customers, the blue customer and the yellow customer. The blue customer has three sites connected to the MPLS cloud, and the yellow customer has two sites connected to the MPLS cloud. This cloud provides connectivity between the different sites belonging to the blue customer and for the different sites belonging to the yellow customers. Of course, traffic for each customer will remain isolated. Well, MPLS operators such as Orange, British Telecom, Tata Communications, and so on and so forth, that can offer express out access, have connected their MPLS backbone to the Microsoft network. And in order to do so, they leveraged the same approach that we have seen for the other deployment options, which means they have extended their MPLS backbone to one or more peering locations, and they have connected routing equipment attached to the MPLS backbone to the Microsoft network. Basically, this is a lower level view of what happens behind the curtains. The MPLS backbone operator is responsible for managing a globally distributed infrastructure, providing connectivity to the different sites belonging to customers' organizations, and is responsible for making sure that the MPLS infrastructure is connected to the Microsoft network at one or more peering locations. The approach for the cross connects with Microsoft is always the same. So Microsoft makes available physical ports in a peering location, and the MPLS backbone will be connected to routing equipment owned by Microsoft in a redundant way in that same peering location. In terms of responsibilities, according to this model, the MPLS provider is responsible for all the technical activities that are required in order to provide one end customer with express out access. So everything that is related to router configuration, BGP sessions, and so on and so forth will be the responsibility of the MPLS provider. Of course, Microsoft will remain responsible for connecting back to the Azure data center their router, our routers deployed at the peering location. According to this model, the management of the BGP sessions will be the responsibility of the MPLS provider. And of course, the MPLS provider will need to manage BGP sessions for each specific customer, which means that every time a specific customer requires express out access to the MPLS provider, the MPLS provider will have to negotiate a dedicated set of BGP sessions, which will provide support, express out access for that specific customer. In this example, you see two different pairs of BGP sessions being established. The blue BGP sessions will exchange routing information between the Microsoft network and the blue customer's IPVPN. The yellow BGP sessions will exchange routing information between the Microsoft network and the yellow customer's IPVPN. In terms of cost structure, again, there are two components here. The customer will have to pay the MPLS provider in order to implement express out access on top of the IPVPN services already sold to the customer, and will have to pay Microsoft for consuming the express out service, which means the customer will see two different bills, one coming from the MPLS provider, the other one coming from Microsoft. One thing that I haven't stressed yet is that irrespective of the deployment model that is selected by a customer, the Microsoft bill will never change. So consuming ExpressRoute has always the same cost irrespective of the type of ExpressRoute provider a customer is working with and irrespective of the deployment option that is selected by the customer. Of course, the bill coming from the provider is something that is the result of a direct negotiation between the customer and the provider. Microsoft does not influence, not interfere in any ways with that negotiation. And with that, I'll pass the word back to Sally for the concluding remarks. Thanks.
Thank you, Federico. So, as Federico explained, in order to achieve an express route connectivity, you always need to work with an express route partner, and you will always need to peer through a peering location. So we get a lot of questions around peering possibilities, and I actually just saw one in the IM window. So let me answer those questions. So what's important to know is that one express route circuit will allow you to achieve connectivity to a geopolitical region. So not only an Asia region, and that's different from other, the equivalent of express route for other cloud solution providers. So for example, for us in EMEA, when you create an express route circuit, you can peer with us either in Amsterdam, in Dublin, in London, in Newport, or in Paris. And that will allow you to be connected to North Europe, to West Europe, to UK West, UK South. We also announced two new Asia regions in France. Well, again, one express route circuit created, appeared with any of our peering locations in Europe will allow you to access all of those public data centers. And that also applies for the other geopolitical regions. So for example, one express route circuit created in North America, whether it's paired with Chicago, Dallas, Las Vegas, well, that will give you access to all of the Asia regions that are in North America. So that's the most important thing to know. One express route circuit equals one geopolitical region. But if you would like to extend the connectivity and have global connectivity and not be limited to one single geo, one thing you can do is take the premium add-on. So the premium add-on is something that you can enable on your express route circuit. You can also unable it, so you will not have to destroy the circuit and recreate it. It allows you to have global connectivity. So with one express route circuit, reach all of our data centers worldwide. So that is its main added value or its main advantage. But it also has two other advantages that can be very interesting for large enterprises and complex scenarios. So, for example, you can increase the number of routes. You are limited by default in a standard circuit to 4,000, and you can increase that to 10,000. So that means that you can increase the number of routes that you can inject in the Microsoft backbone when you enable the Azure public or the Azure private peering to 10,000 routes instead of 4,000. Also, you can increase the number of virtual networks that are linked per express route circuit. The standard number is the standard number is 10, and you can increase that, and that depends on the bandwidth. I'm sorry, I think we have lost the presentation. Let me. Okay, so I'm not the only one. Start sharing. Let me know if it's working now. Is it? Okay, great. Great. Well, this is exactly why you need an express route circuit in order not to have connectivity issues. Okay, so as I was saying, you have three main advantages to the premium add-on: the global connectivity, so not being limited to one geopolitical region, but also increasing the number of routes you can inject through the express route circuit, and also the number of virtual networks you can link. So one thing that the premium add-on cannot do is that it cannot connect you to national clouds. So I saw a question earlier in the IM window of how does Express Route work with Germany? Well, Germany is one of the national clouds that we have. You should treat them as isolated islands. So they are completely isolated from a networking perspective. They have their own peering locations. And if Express Route is serviced, and it is serviced with local partners. So they are completely isolated from a networking perspective. They're not part of the Microsoft global network, and Microsoft will let them, so they will be run by an external entity that's hired by Microsoft. As of today, there are three major national clouds: the US government cloud, the China cloud, and the Germany cloud. In terms of the regions, we have two regions in Germany, Central Germany and East Germany, and two peering locations that are active as of today, Berlin and Frankfurt. So explaining that this is a national cloud and that it's completely isolated from a networking perspective sometimes confuses customers. And they ask us if that means that they will not be able to connect environments that they have in Asia, in Germany, to other Asia environments. It is important to note that the national cloud concept is purely a Microsoft concept. So this means that we will not be able to connect a virtual network that you have created in Germany Central with the virtual network that you have created in the UK. But you can, however, work with an ExpressRoute partner. And the ExpressRoute partners work on a global networking level. And for them, they can take the connection from Germany and then peer with you in London and then take the connection to your environments in London. So I just want to emphasize on that fact here that national clouds is really a purely Microsoft concept, and your partners can allow you to achieve global connectivity between the national clouds and other Microsoft public clouds that we have in our region. And by that, I would like to end this presentation. I hope this has been helpful. Again, thank you for joining us today, and I hope to see you in our next session in February. Thank you, Federico. Thank you, Christoph, Gerald, Richard. Thanks all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.